What language do we have to speak?
English.
English.
Yeah. Unless you can speak Arabic.
Shwia, shwia. You were also on the exposé that is we have this recording for now. What was for you the interest of what was happening there? What was this discussion about?
It's about the question she asked: is it a new opportunity or not? Because I think we are looking for any law that can help us to get ourselves legalized in this country.
Yeah. For you, getting self regularized is a problem, I suppose. Huh?
Yes, yeah. It's for me as a person, for the group. I'm talking about people who spent a long time here with their children and their families. For me, maybe it's not that hard, you know, but for a guy like this guy who was talking now, he have his wife and children with him. It's very hard for him to live this kind of life.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what tomorrow brings to him.
Yeah. On the run always? On the run? Hiding? Yeah. Or?
No, he's here staying in, you know, in the centers.
Yeah. For 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
He stayed 3 years in the center.
Yeah.
About the refugee procedure from Kumsaria.
What is this problem exactly with these procedures? Because you say 3 years someone is in a procedure, that's extremely long time. But it's not an exception, unfortunately, I have the impression. Eh? We just had someone from the service, what's the name again? Commissariaat Generaal van de Vluchtelingen in Brussels. Mm-hmm. And the man in question, he thanked very much for the occasion to do an interview on this radio station, because he said, anyway, actually everything is very clear in the asylum laws and in the procedures. Is it clear for you also?
No.
No.
No. No. For me, for example, you have to prove something. It cannot be proved. For example, I'll just give you an example. You say I am here because I cannot stay in my country. I have some kind of problems, you know, with the government, with the kind of group, with whoever. They ask you to bring proof that you've been tortured, for example. And it's impossible.
Yeah, who's going to give you proof that...
This is something for me is illogical.
Mm-hmm. And can't you call family in your country to ask if they can call the government? Or in Kosovo in the time, people had to prove that their house were burned down and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they could ask to the government of their country to send a report that the house was not there anymore and stuff like that.
This is because you're talking about people who all became as one in the same calamity. But now I don't want my family to go through this story anymore. I don't want them to have anything to do with the government. Something else. They just had to burn all my certificates, all my stuff. You know, they just don't want any problem. They just burn
it. Your family did that?
Yeah, they just did that. So I don't want him to go back to this.
No.
Just
want him to forget. And isn't your name in some kind of files or something that they can see?
Yes. You can find it there. But this is a question. How you can get it? And where it is exactly for them to go and ask, please give us this kind of proof that you have tortured my brother and such.
And isn't there an organization in Belgium who helps you out with things like that?
Here, organizations to help. I don't know what kind of help you are talking about.
Because when you go to the center to ask for help and stuff, and they ask for provements, and you say, like, yeah, it's too difficult to get provements,
mm-hmm.
Don't they say to you, like, go there and there, maybe they can help you further?
If they give you an advocate, this advocate is just for the routine, I think. He's going to help you for the first step, because it is it's to be legal, you know. You have to have your lawyer with you. Then you get negative, then he got nothing to do with you. Okay, you are on your own. You have to go and pay for your advocate or do whatever you like. But he stops here.
He just gives the first steps.
The first steps, and you go. Never do for the appeal for you. He never ask for, never helps you.
And how can you survive then when you don't have, when you're illegal, you can't work neither, I guess.
You can. I worked for a long time, you know. I don't say for a long time, for 6 months. Because I had to survive. I was out. I have no place to stay. Nobody to support me. Nothing at all. But I worked. I had to work in black, like they say.
Yeah.
I worked in black. But police come and they give you an order to leave the country within 5 days.
To your job.
The whole country. You have to leave.
Yeah.
Okay,
but you have to leave the Belgium, or you have
Belgium,
to leave the European Union.
Yeah, you have to leave Belgium, which is you have to leave the European Union.
Yeah, because they can't go to another country.
You cannot, because they have your fingerprints in here.
Yeah.
If you go and ask asylum in any other country, they just with one click they get your fingerprints, they bring you back to Belgium and start the circle.
But you had to give your fingerprints.
Yes.
Here in Belgium, just here in Belgium, we give our fingers.
But there is no law for this, eh?
But there is
they
no
just
way.
Try. They just try there to force no people to do this and to say that it's necessary for the procedure, but there is no law that says that somebody has to give his fingerprints.
So
but of course, if
country,
they say
they
no it's way. Not good for your
yes,
procedure...
Yes, they have this network.
Then yeah, people are gonna give it. Huh?
It's now you suddenly you find yourself like you know, global criminal or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Really, they give you this feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dangerous, you know, but you find yourself in every fingerprint.
Yeah.
I was many times. I just walk in the street like that. If it's cold, you know, I do my police stop me. Identity, have no identity. They take you to the police station, they just lock you for a day or something, till they make their phone calls with the commissariat to see whether they can send you to the commissariat or not, to put you in a closed center or not.
One of the questions many people ask, of course, is how is it possible, I'm trying to get through a document here, reading about history about migration. It is something from old times. We have said that already, but what is the reason why people go away from their home place? What, for you, for instance, was the reason that you left Sudan?
Nobody left his country without problem. As I said, we have a war in Sudan. We have many problems for a government, about the people, about groups. And I think therefore it's a good
chance to say that. Example, yes.
Mm.
You know, it's not necessary, you know, when to say I have problem with the president himself. I wanted to be a president, that's why he kicked me out of my country. It's not always like that. Small people, you know, normal citizens also face this kind of problems.
Mm.
Millions of people and all over the world, they face problems every day.
Mm.
For me, like my brother said, you don't leave your country after this age.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we are not that young to come and look for new chances in Europe. We already have our lives there, our children, or people who love us, our family, established life. there must be a good reason for us to leave this all this behind. Mm-hmm. Now I am here for 4 years. I have achieved nothing really. Mm. I didn't help my family there. If you think I migrated to support my family, I didn't. Mm. Now every now and then I just try to show them that I am, you know, still alive and striving, you know, not dead yet. They are doing fine without me.
Doesn't it sometimes come in your mind that you question yourself, like, what am I doing here? Then I tried to build a new life. I'm here for 4 years. I hear your story. You can't help your family from the situation you're in today. Do you sometimes think about getting back to your own country?
Yes, many times. Every day I think about it. But now I don't have that. You know, there's kind of power inside you. It's a power of, you know, revenge or call it whatever. Well, you still have it and it still burns inside you. You want to go back and live, you know, this kind of pattern. But I don't want to kill or get killed anymore. Mm. Me, not neither my friend. Nobody wants.
Yes, to end this discussion, all this was what we listened to was a sort of information day about one of the aspects is the new asylum law. Have you got any vision on that law yourself?
My vision.
About subsidiarity.
What is that?
My vision about it, it's a law made to be neglected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice it's a nice way to just to get rid of you. Mm-hmm. Mm. This is my vision for this new law. Mm.
Is it more restrictive than the law we had before?
Yeah, that's something we heard before. The problem is that you have only the white card. If you have subsidiary protection, you have only a white card for 1 year, and so they can do it 5 times. And then actually they hope they're gonna send you back after 2 or 3 years. So
yes, when your problem is finished. Yes, it's more strict and it's not flexible. It's not flexible at all. The Convention of Geneva is much better. Mm. People get to the system. Some people get their asylum. They be accepted. Mm. And others, they have to wait. And if they can prove, so they get their chances. But this new law, I don't think it's a new... It's nothing. It's just a good way to tell you, get out. Mm.
We had hoped, we expected some guests to sit together with you on the table, because there's Union pour la Défense des Sans-Papiers, UDIP in French. We had hoped that you would meet each other here in this studio, but they just told us that they have other things to do. Also, people from Basta, more locally in Antwerp, not only about Sans-Papiers, but about the local politics from the city. They just excused themselves that they could not come to the studio. So we had hoped to help you or to make a connection in this radio show, but that will not be done.
I know it's a very greasy topic, but you have to talk about it. I mean, for myself, I have to talk about it. Mm. And since I have the chance to talk about this, I just want to know about myself and my brothers and the other people from me, all these other countries. When this gonna end? For me, it's been for 4 years, but I know people for longer years. Where it's going to end? Is it going to end someday? Mm-hmm. Because now...
Now you're talking about the procedure.
The procedure, yeah. I mean, there's supposed to be a good way, you know, a better way to handle this thing. It's not like the president who is the guy who's responsible about it, who said it's very clear and it's...
Yeah.
It's not like that. It reminds me when they said to this woman, the Queen of France, you know, Marie Antoinette, people are hungry. She said, why they don't eat the cake, you know. It reminds me the same thing. Because we have problems. And I think he's not living with us.
Of course,
no, he's
supposed to see very clearly in this law, of course, because he's the head of this Commissariat General van de Vluchtelingen. He might understand what it is all about. For him, it might be clear.
For him, because it's from
Let's hope so. His
way, yeah. I hope that he just, you know, think about the people. People. There's different asylum seekers, people who fled, you know, because they are tortured, people because they don't have something to eat, and different reasons. Mm. So, how can I prove, you know, it's something? This is now the matter of to be accepted, you know. If you approve, then you are accepted. If you cannot prove, even if you are honest, you say the truth, then you are not accepted.
Of course, this asylum law is coming. This new asylum law is coming there in partially also because the European Union is demanding that there are more strict rules about migration. Mm-hmm. People want not everyone is so happy with all the people coming here. You know about the problem with extreme rights. You know their opinion. We are not going to repeat that on this radio station. But that's part of the reason that they make laws like this. Also, there must be some kind of restrictions, or should we open the doors for everyone?
No, it's not like that. Let me ask you a question. Canada, for example, America, lottery, Spain, the last year, thousands of people. In Holland, now they're discussing this new law. Germany, Italy.
200,000 in Germany?
Yeah. Why you think all these countries, they just open like that, asking for new people to come? They need it. They need us. That's why they open it. More, when people in Africa, they see more people get legalized in Spain, what they're going to do? More boats will come. Okay, why don't you legalize the people who are already here? Maybe also they can help these people there.
But they don't regularize because they are afraid if they have a new wave of regularizations that it's going to attract also new people, because then they say, every 5 years there comes a regularization because the procedures are too slow. There are people waiting for more than five years, so they have to say, it's too slow, okay, we do regularization. So maybe...
But it's
they're afraid to have a new wave.
It's a very dangerous weapon. When now you keep me here, my brother will come, because he also need to come here. But if you help me, I will help my brother. He will stay there, happy, you know, and work. Okay. Then when I go back, then I find a reason to go back. Let's say I'm talking now from the economic way, the economic side. More you keep me here, more you don't give me chance, I create problems.
I think what Lane said is referring also the French Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy. Mm-hmm. He has accused Spain about this wave of legalization of sans-papiers. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, but why do you think today you're having so much people that come to the Canaries, to the Canarian Islands? Mm-hmm. That is because you have regularized before. That's what that Sarkozy's mean opinion. Eh? But isn't there something to be said about this also?
France, Sarkozy accused Spain. Everybody accused France. They just steal heads, steal the minds. Mm-hmm. They just want people from Africa or India or wherever. Just smart people who get good
brain drain, as we call
yes.
it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So why you just steal brains from my country? My country needs these brains. Okay? Mm-hmm. But now they say it, I'm very clear. America, everybody, in the lottery, everywhere, Canada, skilled workers, doctors, engineers, these people are very important. These people, you think they are not illegal migrants, but when they come with boats, they're illegal. Mm.
You think if you had know where you all had to go through beforehand, you would have come still? If you had know what you had all to go through here in Belgium, all the uncertainty,
yeah.
If you had know that beforehand, would you still have done the travel?
Yeah, because
flight?
If I had a chance to go to a better place, you know, I don't mean better place. Better people, you know, it's not necessary, you know. But if I had the chance to go to a better place where I can get my chance,
mm-hmm.
why not? I could have in this long years could have studied something, or did some kind of work or anything.
Because you are here now, but many people who try to do the same thing, they just die on the road.
Maybe I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm lucky, and it was easier 4 years ago, like you say. Maybe if I try now, last month, I could have just passed away.
Mm-hmm. Why did you choose for Belgium?
Uh-huh.
Why did you choose Belgium?
Yeah, let's say Belgium chose me. Now, if you say now, I am free to go wherever I want. I'm stuck with a bond called fingerprints. I have to stay here in Belgium, unless I can go to another continent, like Australia, America, something like that. As long as I'm here, I am. I have this finger. I've tried once to go to England through Ostend, smuggle myself in a boat, you know. Tomorrow I find myself in England, but it's everybody want to go, police.
And they're
watching. So, if you ask me, why you stay still in Belgium? I don't know the reason, but just it's now for 4 years. Every day I wake up and I has got to cut the scene, but it's still roll on.